And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, the 5th day of February, 2024. February going like gangbusters, right? It's hard to believe 2 weeks into the Donald J. Trump presidency. Today, Pam Bondi was sworn in as the... That's right, the Attorney General taking over for Janet Reno. Oh, or maybe Eric Holt. No, when huh? No, remember those days? Wow. I'm going to be talking a lot about Pam Bondi in the second hour. And things that I think some people might have some misconceptions in terms of the defunding of sanctuary cities. And is your city sanctuary? How about your state? Did you know there are states and cities? Obviously you did, but going to be drilling down into that as well as some other things. And of course, I want to ask you, did you happen to see the Raw 60 minute train wreck interview with McKneepads Harris? Wow. Yeah, you know, I know. I watched it so you didn't have to. And wow. Hey, quiet down there. I'm sorry. Eric, was that bad? I'm sorry. Was that?
We did it. We did it, Joe.
Yeah. Then here. Maybe I should do this, right? Here, hold this. Never mind. Okay, I'll stop it now. Got a great show lineup for you. This segment, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com, teamhealthmasters.com, fighting off the cooties out there, making you strong, making you pumped up. Before I get to Austin, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. So buckle up, buckle in, get ready. But before I get to Austin, you know what? It's like, I don't know. The wind chill's like, well, it's pretty nipply out there, okay? Again, my apologies. It's pretty cold out there, in case you haven't had it out today, but it is. Yes, I did say that. Eric, are you quiet because you're just rolling all over the floor? Is that? No? Okay. Just rolling. StayWarmNow.com. StayWarmNow.com. I'll tell you what, this is a little device that plugs in your wall outlet. It works great. It goes from, you know, subtle warm to, hey, blast furnace, you know, here it is. I'll tell you what, Americans, hey, we're expected to spend more money on heating bills this season than we did on holiday gifts, of course. I mentioned that before. I'm just going to say it again. And we're looking at an almost 10% rise in heating bills to an average of $941. That's a lot of money. So a forecast that beats the expected $902 the average household spends on Christmas gifts. I mean, that's what we're looking at, that kind of forecast, which is why I use this little portable device you see on your screen. If you're watching this, and if you're not watching it, well, then, you know, go ahead and watch it on Rumble and on X Live too. Yeah, there it is right there. Look, it makes my home nice and warm without the extra heating costs. It's a device that it's portable, but very powerful. Like I said, it's got adjustable heat features on it, the various settings on it. It makes any room of reasonable size warm. I'm telling you, it really does. Even in the den, we have high ceilings, you know. And even with high ceilings, it does a great job. Folks, do yourself and your wallets a favor. Grab one of these for up to 60% off this winter only at staywarmnow.com. Plus, order today and you'll receive a free expedited shipping, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and several other free bonuses. Once again, that's staywarmnow.com, staywarmnow.com, staywarmnow.com. And you know something? They stand behind their product, and that's something I like. Yeah, I really do. I heard a lot of good things about the product and the customer service. So very, very, very good, as well as I like it. So can't beat that. Now, for the next 60 minutes, buckle in, because the man, Austin Brower, from the balmy South Florida, from the free state of Florida, is joining me. Austin Brower from TeamHealthMasters.com. TeamHealthMasters.com. Make sure you stock up on all your supplements. I'm going to tell you right now. And also, while you're at TeamHealthMasters.com or HealthMasters, depending on which version you like, switch over to TeamHealthMasters. Make life easier on yourself. But also listen to the Ted and Austin Brower show. Do that, please, for me. Listen to that show. It's an information download, and they talk faster than I can think. So, I have to say, it's show prep for me. It's one of the shows I listen to every single day, and I love it. And that's the Ted and Austin Brower show. Plus, the products are fantastic. Austin, again, you got a full 60 minutes. How you doing, sir? How you doing, my friend?
Doing fantastic, Doug. How's my audio on here? I wasn't using the earbuds. Can you hear me?
Huh? Yeah. No. I don't know. Eric the Tech, sound all right to you? Sounds good to me.
We got good audio?
Yeah, I do. I can hear you.
I'm up and running. Then we're hot and ready. The earbuds, I run them sometimes, but I really don't like them. It kind of just, I don't know. I like being old. I'm not used to using headsets when I talk anymore. I've done it before in the past, but I like to have open ears. Plus, I have better peripheral sounds. So if somebody decides they want to come in the front door and lunge at me with a sword or something like that, you know, we always have, you know, weapon systems on hand. So this is, I like it better not having earbuds.
No. Is that a problem down there? People coming in and lunging at you with swords and, you know,
swords, machetes, box cutters are really popular down here in Florida. Sometimes you'll get meth heads where they'll run around and grab a water moccasin by the neck and they'll chase you, or they'll grab a hypodermic needle and a water moccasin and chase you. You got to watch out for them. Sometimes you just have to avoid them. Other times you have to shoot them. Really is a precarious situation sometimes to find yourself in. So I like to have good audio perception everywhere I go. You know?
That's a good thing. And you know, your haircut looks good. I have to say that style looks good.
Thank you. I had a hat on all day and I was on the show earlier. I said, I got to do something with my hair. I look like an Auburndale redneck down here with a hat on all day. It just wasn't for coming for a night show with you. You're always dressed up. Got the suit on. I got a t-shirt on, V-neck, but Team Health Masters. You can get shirts on our website if you want them. They're super comfy and they're stretchy and they're cool.
I was going to ask you about that. When did you start doing that? Or was I like sleeping the entire time? When did you start putting
You're probably sleeping the entire time, but I did try to nudge you and wake you up. But okay. I mean, you're here for it now. We made them a while back ago. We went through a bunch of test ones because in Florida, I like really lightweight shirts because today was 88, 89 degrees already.
Oh, be quiet. I'm telling you.
It's a problem. I handled one of the customers I have as far as up in, she said she was in Maine. And I was like, Maine? She's like, yeah, it's like 19 degrees. I was like, oh, I said, I'm sweating. I'm in shorts and a t-shirt right now. I said, oh, I'd like to be in 20 degree weather. She's like, I wouldn't. I'd rather be in Florida. I'm like, oh, I don't know. We had a nice cold winter for about 2 weeks.
What's cold for you? I'm just curious. What like 70?
When it drops below 50, the jackets are coming out.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you what.
Thermals on. I'm wearing a beanie. Got a face mask. Yep. Four layers. I mean, that's not that bad at 50.
But, I'll tell you, a year ago today, Eric the Tech and I were in West Palm.
That seems pretty warm down there.
And I'll tell you what. In the morning, because I get up early, so like it was at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was 62, and I was cold, man. I mean, at 60, I don't know. So anyway,
well, Florida does have that cold. Like I've had people come out here from up north and stuff, and they're like, "Dude, you're 40 to 50 in Florida feels like 20 to 30 up here." And I said, "It's because it's so wet. We're like one side away from being an island. So 40 degrees in Florida." It's like walking outside and having somebody dump 30-degree ice water on top of your head. I mean, it's like, ugh.
Well, I'm glad you agree. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Well, look, we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
So, again, a couple of things. I'm going to, like, just toss questions out at you. You don't have to answer any of them. All you can answer all of them. It doesn't matter.
Are we doing a show? Or is this a deposition? I want to make sure we're clear on it.
Well, the court reporters here.
Bailiff, court reporters. All right. Come here. I do not recall any incident that occurred at any point in time before this show.
You know what? That's right. And actually, you've been granted a full broad pardon, so it doesn't really matter.
Call me the Biden family. Pardon for you. We all get pardoned, man.
Pocket pardon once in a while, you know, for the big guy. But okay, so yeah, a couple of questions about recent events. I'm just going to toss them out all at once. Here are my concerns. Number one. I'm concerned about President Trump's appearance at the Super Bowl, okay? Working backwards. Number two, what the hell happened between the Black Hawk and the civil aircraft or the commercial aircraft? Number three, what the hell happened to the medevac plane or the medical plane from Mexico that crashed in Philly? Yeah. Okay, also, what's going on with the fires, with the fire situation in California? I mean, we lost essentially a city, a mid-sized city, the city size of Minneapolis in California, which brings me to the issue of, well, wait a second, we still haven't gotten answers on Maui, about Maui, which also reminds me of East Palestine. We still really haven't gotten too many answers there. What about the people in North Carolina? They're still suffering. Yeah. Okay, I'm not done with my questions. Okay, so what about all that? And why in the hell are we funding Sesame Street in friggin' Afghanistan? Okay, and I want to know who. I want names. And why are we, you know, studying gender studies in the Congo, for crying out loud? So all of this combined. Oh, and the Department of Defense. What the hell's up with the Department of Defense in terms of, are they going to court-martial? Are they going to drag Milley back, court-martial him? Is anything going to be done? Or is all of this just happy talk or, you know, whatever? But I want answers, and I want names and a big stick. And 5 minutes with everybody. So, okay, to you. And if you don't want to address any of that, go where you want to go.
No, I can address a lot of that, actually. The fires, from what they've looked like, not only have some of them been intentional with arsonists, we've also seen the aspect of directed energy weapons, allegedly, with some of the way this stuff has worked. They want to turn LA into a smart city. We've talked about it. They're trying to do it with Maui now. I talked to some very good customers and friends who actually came to the office a few weeks ago that were from Hawaii that have moved now, and they live in Idaho, and they were there right after the fires happened. And essentially they said that there was so much corruption. Not only that, the main chief law enforcement officer there happened to also be the same one that oversaw the shooting in Las Vegas. That's just coincidence.
Yeah.
And they said essentially that's what they wanted to do. They want to take the high-end stuff in Maui, and now it's going to be turned into basically high-rise resorts and smart city resorts that they can basically make an enormous amount of money off of. Basically what they're going to do in California as well. That's one of the reasons why all that oceanfront area is now white, very clean. At the same time, State Farm has now come out, and off the top of my head, they said they are doing an emergency request for a 22% premium raise on homeowners effective immediately and 35% premium increase on rent insurance effective immediately, thereby pretty much forcing just about anyone that's on a tight budget to either have to drop insurance, and if you have a mortgage and you can't drop insurance, you're probably going to have to start listing your house and figure out how to afford everything, because, quite frankly, eggs are $12 a dozen now for organic eggs. We just saw Pete and Jerry's lose 100,000 eggs valued at $100,000 on a shipment. They got hijacked. Very strange information. You can look that one up. Now we have heist of eggs. That's when you know 2025 is getting off to a really fun start, when we're going to heist eggs now. I'm not heisting gold. I'm not heisting silver. I'm heisting eggs, boy. That's happening. While at the same time, the bird flu, they're allegedly saying that it seems to affect nothing but chickens and cows. The two main meat sources in the United States, chicken and beef and milk and eggs, continually slaughtering millions of chickens and cows alike so that they can continue to push their fake meat that Bill Gates has been pushing, including their fake eggs, their fake cows, everything. They're grown in a petri dish like a doggone cancerous tumor. It's disgusting. One of the articles, too, moving on to that, if you want to cover, Lockheed Martin and the Black Hawk, and I covered it this week extensively. What happened with that? Who not knows? I know that they were not getting any response from the pilots on the Black Hawk while they were going straight towards the American Airlines flight. My condolences to the family on that flight and everybody around them. The incident was horrible. But there's an article here that I should have sent it to Eric. I can here in a second if he wants to have it. This is directly from Lockheed Martin. And the title of it, I actually sent it to you because a lot of people are not going to know this yet if they have not listened to the show. This is one of those things that really needs to be addressed so everybody understands the technology.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. People need to see that article. So
I'm sending it right now. I have talked to so many people that had no idea this technology even existed as far as on military aircrafts. They thought it was only for drones. There we go.
Yep. And folks, pay attention.
By the way, this is Lockheed Martin. This isn't like a conspiracy website or some far right wing site. This is LockheedMartin.com. This is them discussing what they've been working on with DARPA for the last 10 years, and they've now begun implementing it for the last few years slowly and testing it. And so I just sent it to Eric on there. Let me know if you get it, because this is something that I'd want people to understand. If you start seeing incidences like this with military aircrafts, there's a serious problem, because they blatantly say in here that the Association of United States Army annual meeting in Washington, D.C., by the way, this was released last year that they had already started installing this, Black Hawk integrated an AI platform, Sikorsky Matrix autonomy system can receive remote mission commands in real time. It's not a simple flight director following a planned route. Instead, the systems act fully independently, reacting in dynamic combat environments to avoid threat, optimize routing, and execute emergency procedures if necessary. Part of the DARPA alias program is further the development of the Matrix autonomy system to perform missions with greater efficiency and safety, whether with two pilots, one pilot, or zero pilots on board. As a forward note in the mesh network, Matrix-equipped aircraft provide mission command and fully autonomous capability at the edge, meaning the Black Hawk can be automatically controlled through AI systems and do exactly what it's told to do, or act accordingly as it seems or deems best so according to the mission. This is Lockheed Martin's own website with the DARPA alias program that they've installed in Black Hawks.
Man, that's...
Do that with it what you may, but that seems pretty strange that suddenly we have a Black Hawk fly directly into an airline that, by the way, has full clearance for landing. Full clearance, full runway lighting as far as they have landing lighting on. They've already gotten clearance from the tower, and the Black Hawk just goes straight into them. And now they're saying that the Black Hawk was 150 feet too high. Really? That's the excuse we're going to go with. All three pilots, nobody bothered to realize their altitude was off by 150 feet, and they just flew head on into the airplane.
I know accidents happen. I mean, they do. Anyone who's been in a car accident knows that. Sometimes you swear the light was good. I remember being in an accident. I blew through a solid red light, and I swore it was green. And I had about 15 people say, "Nah, that was red." You know, there's no question about it. And it's just like, okay. As they're hauling bodies away. That was a sick thing to say. But you hurt people. I think we deserve the truth on this. And when you're dealing with AI, man, this is something that we need to really pay attention to. What else too is how they handled the releasing of the identities of the military. I didn't like that. Yeah. Okay. I mean, everyone was fine and dandy, but I just didn't like that. The scrubbing of the profiles, social networking and stuff. Yeah. they really have to do that? But anyway.
No. But, and you know, the strange thing about this, too, you know, when you see stuff start coming in patterns, Doug, it makes you have to question things. And again, I'm not insinuating or telling you what to think or how to feel or any of the listeners exactly what to think. I'm just giving you facts, ideas, and concepts that are occurring in real time and have everybody look at them and make your own decision. We got a Blackhawk that allegedly has three pilots on it and flies directly in an American Airlines flight. Right after a few months, Lockheed Martin releases this DARPA Matrix AI technology. At the same time, we just had an individual in Louisiana drive allegedly an EV F-150 and kill numerous people that was directly related to the military, while another individual puts together some homemade garage bomb in the back of his Tesla vehicle and tries to allegedly blow up the Trump Towers when the guy was extremely proficient in munitions technology. He didn't have to use a propane cannon fireworks. And yet, again, another military tied into this. That whole topic and those discussions with those guys has been completely scrubbed. Nobody's talked about it whatsoever. It's disappeared since Trump's gotten office, and he's been knocking heads out of the park and getting stuff done. You know, like you said, while the USAID is talking about how we just spent $3.5 million for Peruvian transgender comic book studies. I mean, that's a great investment. I feel like the ROI is amazing on that one. Come on, dude. I saw that and I was like, what?
Yeah, you know, when I found out that my supply of comic books, transgender comics, comic books, I cried. Yeah, but you know, that's a good thing too. You mentioned the Cybertruck deal in Vegas.
Yeah, what was the story on that? You notice how that whole story just got slapped together like a dirty book? And it's like, dude, we're not touching it. We're not looking at it. Nobody's discussing it anymore. It's over with. The guy shoots himself allegedly before it blows up, and everything's intact except for his credentials. I mean, everything's burnt except for his credentials. And then again, now you got this random Blackhawk that's not communicating with the tower at all. They fly directly into a plane. I mean, what's going on with the Pentagon? What's going on with the CIA? I mean, I saw an article here earlier, and it was talking about how that was on Strange Sounds. It was talking about how it shows right here on USPending.gov, the Department of Defense just spent $9.1 million to Reuters for active social engineering defense, large-scale social deception. $9 million. You had another article that came out talking about how the New York Times has been getting millions of dollars since 2021, like $40 to $50 million in government funding to the New York Times. I mean, why is it Politico? We got $8 million to Politico. I mean, we just had the press secretary come out of that. $8 million in taxpayer money has gone to subscriptions to Politico.
Well, I mean, I don't. Okay, that I don't. Can you explain that to me? Because obviously they froze the money, and now Politico, we're gonna have to delay payroll a little bit. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's going on? I mean, what the hell is going on?
All of these are hardcore leftist news agencies that spew rhetoric. I have tried to tell so many people time and time again, and a lot of people listen to me now, a lot of people got it after COVID, is that the mainstream media is not there to give you news. It's not there to give you even topics. It's there to gear you and drive you to think and perceive things in the way that they want you to perceive them, and then act upon them in the way that they want you to act upon them. It's social engineering. It's psychological warfare. People look at me and go, oh, gosh, Austin, that's conspiracy. It's not. It takes about 5 minutes of searching online to figure out what the CIA did with Operation Mockingbird and how that is expanded to a level that nobody can even fathom from psychological experimentation unless you have a background in psychology and what the mainstream media does to control the masses. So when you see tens of millions of dollars every year going to all these different media outlets and kind of go, hey, maybe the deep state is controlling what everybody thinks, what everybody sees, how everybody acts, how everybody's supposed to feel. Maybe we should be getting our news from independent sources to say, here's what's going on. Make your own decision. Come to your own conclusion. Period. That's what everybody needs to be doing. And that's what they don't want you to do. That's why they spend so much money to engineer this media, so you don't do that. So again, fight this stuff as much as possible, because they're getting aggressive. And I mean, you knew the deep state wasn't going to slow down. I mean, they weren't going to come out this easy. I mean, Trump's been whacking heads with these executive orders left and right. I mean, look how hard they came at RFK Jr. the other day, as far as with the hearings with that. That was insane. And he calls out Bernie Sanders. Well, by the way, Bernie, you got $1.5 million from pharmaceutical companies. He got mad. He's yelling. I did not. It was all from employees. Oh, I didn't take any money from any executives. I'm like, okay, you took it from all the top employees from the company. Okay, right. So
between him and Elizabeth Warren, it just that cracked me up. So all of that combined. And by the way, folks, Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com. Get your 100% the best supplements on the planet. If you want to take just one supplement that covers all the bases, Ultimate Multiple Powder or Capsule.
Yep.
Okay.
The powder's on sale right now, by the way. It just won Product of the Week. Everybody voted today on it, and it won. It changes every Wednesday.
Beautiful.
So, yeah. Okay. And I'll make it active. I don't normally do this. You guys know that. I do it occasionally on this show, and I do it for you, the HR5 listeners. I'll activate the HR5 code, and I won't restrict Ultimate Multiple because I haven't messed with that yet, but I can go in there. So that now everything else that's on sale is going to be restricted to that coupon code. That coupon goes for regular price products only. But I'll let people add that other coupon code on Ultimate Multiple just to get that product out there. Because it is, that's a standalone, man. You can look at the reviews on Team Health Masters. It's a standalone product.
Yeah, I have to say that everyone I've spoken to that have taken your supplements have just really praised the quality. You cannot beat the quality. And you know what, folks, you get what you pay for. You want to go down to Walmart, $5.99 for Flintstone, whatever. Go ahead and do that and see what happens. But the bottom line here, Health Masters, as far as I'm concerned, the best you can buy. And they work. They absolutely work. I got to tell you though, for your fish oil, man, trying to get that down. Those are pretty big.
Which one? The capsules?
Or the Well, I don't know. I take so many. What is that? Omega fish oil?
Norwegian omega fish oil. They're chunky. I mean, for some people that don't like capsules, I'm not going to lie. Some people do have issues with them because there's a lot of fish oil. We do have the cod liver oil that's in a strawberry from a company that makes it for us. Make that one. It's a really good formula. It's strawberry flavored. It's really good. You can take a teaspoon of that if you want. And,
I don't have a problem taking them. I just know when I took it, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, yeah, there's no question. I just took that.
I took my fish oil today. Check.
Yeah. I mean, it's like swallowing a little marble. They're all great products, folks. And definitely go to teamhealthmasters.com bookmark and do it tonight while the coupon code 5% off HR5, in case you're wondering, it stands for Hagman Report. 5% off.
If people miss that.
Yeah, you know, whatever. But do that right after the show. Okay. So, all in all, I mean, what's the biggest news, do you think, since you've last been on, whenever that was? I can't remember. But what's the biggest news?
Well, one of the biggest things that happened today, and I don't know, I think everybody's still kind of trying to figure out what in the world this is about now. Apparently, I mean, and granted, he's been killing it, and Trump's been nailing it with a lot of good stuff, but apparently now, we're taking over Gaza and paying for the entire demolition, entire rebuilding for the entire Gaza Strip now. I don't know when that became a thing that we were going to do. I saw that today. I'm still kind of waiting to get more information on that. But, I mean, last time I thought maybe we should prioritize rebuilding North Carolina, maybe California, maybe more the southern border. I don't know why Gaza's our problem suddenly is a priority. I saw that today. So I'm trying to get more intel on it. Have you got any more info on it?
Well, look, I'm trying to remember whether it was Witkoff. Somebody came out and said, look, you're looking at, you know, a period of 15 years, over a period of 15 years. And it's not going to start right away. It's not, you know, not necessarily. They didn't walk it back. I think it was Steve Witkoff. He didn't walk it back or anything like that, but he did. Tamper down a little bit, saying, you know, no one getting an uproar. This is not, you know, we're not going to go in there and start, you know, putting up a Trump Plaza and casino hotel thing.
That's kind of what I picked up on. And I'm like, bro, when's the last time we all voted to rebuild Gaza? Like, I really think I need to focus on the properties in North Carolina. I got friends in North Carolina still there having issues. Like, why are we putting a Riviera in Gaza now? Like, I don't know why that's top of priority. But, again, maybe that's something, like you said, it's further down the line. I don't know. It threw me for a loop today.
I mean, that's something that I think is more that's Donald Trump, okay, talking, and I think, but who knows? But it's my understanding.
Could have a branch of health masters in Gaza.
There you go.
I mean, you know, while we're at it, we could have a full health food strip out there. I've heard it's beautiful. I've never been to that area, but I'm kind of like, are we going to be able to buy steak or shares? I mean, that'd be kind of cool. Take taxpayer money, be like, hey, you're going to have shares of Gaza, so we could actually. I mean, I don't know. I mean, well, we do that. That's kind of cool.
Here's what I like right on the right on the coast there. I can see where you'll have Trump Hotel Casino.
Yeah.
On the mezzanine level, you'll have Health Masters, a little storefront next to Tiffany's, and I don't know. Maybe
Austin can be shirtless out front like Abercrombie.
I'll be out there, you know, hanging out, doing some poses for everybody. As long as they put a gun store next to the Health Master shop, so I can go in there and peruse all the new machine guns coming in. I'm not even complaining anymore. You guys have sold me on it. I'm done. I'm going to be in Gaza half the year. Florida can just hang my hat. I'm done. Okay, well, I'm sold now. Let's go.
But you know, okay. So the way I look at this too is kind of like, I think President Trump, when he announced, for example, the tariffs, I think he knew what he was doing, and I think he knew where it was going to end up. And I think where it is now is where he figured it would end up. And I see something similar to that with Gaza. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But, you know, what I'm concerned about, Austin, is, you know, last July, July 13th, Thomas Matthew Crooks and others attempted to kill President Trump. And I think we're seeing the very reason why he was used as a dupe, to kill President Trump, because he was a dupe of the deep state. Crooks was, and others. And I mean that because there's others out there in the network. So my concern is, we're seeing all of this stuff take place. What are your thoughts on him attending the Super Bowl? And you know, they're still trying to kill him. What happens if that happens, or you know, something bad happens? I'm just curious.
Starting off, piss off all the listeners. I'm not an NFL fan. It's sports betting. It's rigged. I know guys have played in the NFL. They've all told me the exact same thing about it. It's entertainment. That's what it's classified as. So, I mean, if that's your thing and you want to watch entertainment, cool story. I don't watch the Super Bowl. I haven't watched it in years. I don't like the Illuminati midtime, halftime shows they have. It's just not my style.
Eric and I are in ballroom dancing. That's our sport, Eric and I. So,
yeah.
Go on.
I've always been kind of weird. I was always weird growing up. I always like one-on-one, you know, combative sports. I like jiu-jitsu. I like motocross. I like racing. I like things where whenever I won, it was me and solely me. Nobody could take the credit for it. I just didn't play well with others. Is part of it. It's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's how I was. So I never was into football. I mean, I like some of the college games. I think NFL's rigged. However, having the standing president that already has all these death threats, death attempts, and assassination attempts in the middle of all this stuff where he is really pissing some people off right now, I think going to the Super Bowl, not out of a fear standpoint, I don't see the upside of it. Most of the fans that are Super Bowl, they go to the NFL, they've already voted for him. He's already won. He's already doing what he needs to do. He's in office, and he's doing his part now. I got to give him that. He is doing a lot of stuff that we wanted him to do. The point of going to the Super Bowl and making us focus on the task at hand. You're not doing rallies anymore. You're not trying to get the election. Now do what we elected you to do. So going to the Super Bowl like that, making a big, giant public appearance, that's so loosely controlled. I mean, yes, the Super Bowl's got security out the wazoo there. But dude, you just got so many variables that are completely unknown. I mean, when you got 50, 60,000 people like that in an area, it just, to me, that's a security nightmare that I wouldn't even touch personally.
Plus it adds to the congestion and the,
I can't, I didn't think about that. I mean, it's going to jam up the whole Super Bowl as far as with security. Cause when they come in with that convoy, I mean, it's going to stop an entire area. I mean, they're going to control the whole scene. I wouldn't do it. I don't think it's a good move. I don't know. I don't even know. Is he a big NFL fan? I don't think he's a big football fan.
I don't know. Last time him and I spoke over bourbon and cigars, he really didn't talk too much about NFL. I'm kidding, folks, but I really don't know. I couldn't tell you. Beyond that, there was a story in the Gateway Pundit where he, in other places, where he wrote out, you know, if he would be taken out by somebody or a country, specifically Iran, he left his kind of final wishes or direction for where he wanted the country to go. So, you know, there's that too, that's got me thinking, what the hell, you know? All of that aside, let me ask you, do you think we're winning? Do you think we have the deep state on the run? I'm just curious as to what your thoughts are.
I don't know about on the run. I think we're going to see how a lot of stuff's going to get jammed up in court. I mean, you already saw, I covered it on the show today, earlier on our show, how you got like six FBI agents, anonymous FBI agents now filed suit as they don't want anything coming out about their involvement in the January 6th. As far as the January 6th involvement, now Breitbart just had an article earlier about 5,000 FBI employees were working on the January 6th cases while crime skyrocketed. So on the run, no, I wouldn't say on the run. Concerned? Absolutely. On alert? 100%. They know there's a lot of stuff happening now. And the biggest thing is money funds the world. Love it, hate it, whatever your stance is on it, cash runs things. And there's a lot of funding getting cut on a lot of different agencies. And I mean, and we've wondered, I've told you guys before, because I've always been in numbers. I've been in the markets. I've been in the economics. And seeing these bills when they come out, you know, trillion-dollar bills, and understanding and trying to fathom, you know, the thousand millions and the billions and the trillions, you know, 100 billion. You're like, that's an insane amount of money, like a trillion's. You know, 10 of those, 100 billions, and seeing how much money that goes into some of these agencies, and now actually getting a real eyeful of how unbelievably, not only wasteful, but how they were directly going against the United States, essentially the Constitution, the Republic, the rule of law, so to speak, and funding stuff that not only wasn't even beneficial for the American taxpayer, it was counterintuitive. It was completely against what we even believe in. I mean, we're going to go fund $3.5 million for transgender magazines in Peru. I mean, that one just boggled my mind. I said, who the hell signed off on that? Who actually got that on their desk and was like, dude, that is a great idea?
Well, obviously,
transgender comic books. Oh, we're definitely spending money on that.
I mean, there's got to be graft. If you sign off on that, you've got to be putting some change in your pocket. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're looking at now. Even the level and extent of wasteful spending, I think we're seeing, I personally see, and I would like to see this if Elon Musk got into it, some of these, we're already seeing this now with these, how much money went to Politico and New York Times and all these different agencies that are basically agencies of the CIA to push the fake news. I would really like to see some investigations into corruption and money laundering and, you know, theft, bribery, because there's no way that people are spending this kind of money on these programs and not skimming off 5 or 10%. Like, you always say 10% to the big guy. That's in most, in most audits, they look at that stuff. When it starts coming under like 5%, you know, a lot of times they can justify where it's going. You know, you start spending 10, 20, 30% of a budget, you're going to get flagged. They were spending, you know, 0.5%, 1% on this stuff, which in most cases, it probably got completely overlooked. So nobody even know we're spending $3.5 million on transgender comic books. Well, you shave off, you know, 10% on that. That's $350,000. You shave off 1%. That's $35,000 that slid in somebody's pocket. Again, my opinion, I'm just speculating. But dude, there's way too much money floating around these agencies that I don't think any of us even understood. And then you ask yourself the question, why in the heck was Congress approving this stuff? Why were they approving this? Like,
well, that's a good point. I think in a lot of cases, they were the benefactors, obviously, sponsors, as well as a lot of people didn't read it. You know, they were busy on their own pet projects where money went in their pockets. And, you know, I remember 40 years ago, as an investigator, did an audit, called in to do an audit at a bank. And it was interesting because you could see a pattern. And I think we're seeing the same pattern here, just briefly. The manager would sign off on a loan with a favorable rate to a specific demographic up here, okay? And you would see an overfunded loan. Let's say somebody wanted $75,000. He got $100,000. The bank manager got $25,000, and the rate was lower than the payment would be at $75,000. I don't know if people understood that, but the bottom line is this happens at all levels. So this audit is so necessary. All of these audits are so necessary. Yeah. You know, so
they need to be independent audits. These do not need to be internal audits. These need to be fully independent audits from different third party companies that are vetted and really go through this and see where this money's actually been being spent. Because the problem is when you're starting to deal with trillions of dollars, you know, siphoning off a million here, a million here, a million there, 5 million, 10 million, dude, that's minuscule. It's a penny in the drop of the bucket. And so a lot of this stuff, I think, has been just complete and total fraud. And I think American taxpayers have been had, and I personally think we all need a stinking refund, quite frankly. I mean, I think they need to go back and say, all right, listen, we pretty much, everybody's going to be getting this paid in. You're getting $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 refund for all the crap that's been going on and being spent. Because at the end of the day, we never voted for this type of behavior. We voted for a government by the people, for the people. We voted that our congressional leaders were there to protect us and support us and do the will of what the people wanted, not put through these agencies now. But I'm glad they're starting to get dissolved. You see the other I think it was yesterday, Trump's talking about now dissolving the Department of Education.
Oh, yes.
$280 billion agency. I mean, that does nothing. They really do nothing. They've made the entire school curriculum across the country a flat plane. They've pushed DEI. They've pushed Common Core. They've pushed critical race theory. They've pushed Marxist theory. They've done all this stuff, and then they start holding money over the heads of the states and the counties and say, well, listen, if you don't pass this in the state of Florida Department of Education, we're not going to give you all this money. You don't want to allow trannies to come in and hang out with your kids and expose themselves. We're not giving you this money. The Department of Education has become so stinking corrupt, it needs to be in the state's hands. Let the state have the funds. I figured out if they want to live in a completely, totally corrupt state, that's their choice. You want to live in a free state? Live in a free state. That was the beauty of the republic. That was the beauty of the states. That was the beauty of states' rights. We didn't have that government control and overreach. That was the beginning phase of it. Now it's just, God, it's turned into just a fiasco on every platform. It's bizarre.
You know, it is the smallest of the cabinet agencies. I think it's got 4,500, roughly 4,500 employees on staff. But you're right in terms of the billions of dollars that could be saved. And you're also correct too. The Department of Education was started in 79, I think, under Carter. But yes, it was under Carter. But the bottom line here.
And then Reagan tried to get rid of them, and he couldn't.
It actually grew, I believe, under Reagan, despite him trying to. Yes, yeah. So Reagan tried to get rid of it and ended up getting a little bit bigger. So there we have it.
Got bigger.
Yeah. Go figure on this. But yeah. Now, I don't want to take your time up. So whatever your focus is, please fire away at your focus, whatever it might be. In terms of, the subject matter.
Well, I mean, there's a few of this stuff here. You know, I mean, I was looking at it the other day, and it was talking about what was going on as far as with RFK Jr. and the manipulation. It was crazy because somebody actually posted some on social media before they even had the hearings, and they actually, the news media, somebody had taken a little snippet, and the news media already had more headline rebuttals basically coming at him and basically putting him down and trying to come up with all this fodder. And I brought it up on the show last week because there was one of them, they said, as, you know, RFK Jr. is pushing this anti-vax rhetoric, more and more states are proposing laws in about trying to, you know, basically stop vaccines. And then you go and look at the article and it goes into detail how there's been like 10 states that have pushed laws into place to prevent mandatory vaccines from being forced on the population, like the COVID shot. Had nothing to do with RFK, had nothing to do with trying to ban vaccines, and everything to do with protecting rights of people not being forced to have a shot injected upon them. And that's the thing that does, and it goes back to what I was talking about with the mainstream media. You got to start doing some research, because I read off like four or five headlines on the show on right when they had come out. And every single one of them, you read the headlines, you'd be like, well, that's crazy. And then you go to read down, and by the time you get to the very bottom of it, they kind of start letting out the actual truth that they've been trying to hide so they can say, oh, well, you know, it's unbiased media. It's total crap. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, God, this is just straight theater. You know, we're act two now. Do this whole thing. Now Ukraine, Zelensky comes out and goes, I don't know where $100 billion went out of the $170 you guys sent me. I'm broke again. I need more money. And I'm sitting there going like, okay, well, I know BlackRock laundered a bunch of it. I know Lockheed and Raytheon were running a ton of weapon systems out there. I talked to one of my good contract buddies that used to work with GRS for contract work. And he told me, I remember I brought this up on the show 2.5 years ago, is the fact that a huge platform, a lot of the machine guns, a lot of the ammo, a lot of the munitions were going out towards Ukraine on paper. And then they were immediately getting intercepted and they were getting dropped down through the Black Sea, through Istanbul, through Turkey, and going out to Yemen and other South, you know, basically other African countries. And he goes, the amount of weaponry that we're sending to Ukraine, This is not a skirmish on the border. He goes, this is the kind of stuff that we're sending out to Afghanistan for 2 decades. He goes, this is not what they're telling you. And then come to find out, now there's even that report that says about 70% of the weapons that have been sent to Ukraine, nobody can account for them. We just, whoopsie, we sent another 100,000 machine guns and we don't know where they went. They just disappeared. You know, they just walked off. You know, 80 pallets of grenades just disappeared. Like, how do you start losing pallets of grenades? Just nobody pays attention. I mean, golly, if they're that easy, why the ATF? Why don't we start, you know, instead of just class fouring them, hey, why don't we just start handing by grenades in the United States now since they're just free to Ukraine, every other country?
How is it possible where, in a world where Walmart, you know, they can keep track of a 3-pack of Tidy Whiteys, okay?
Yeah.
By a SKU number or whatever, by a barcode, and we lose a tank or two or 10 or 100? I mean, what the hell?
Well, that's the irony, right? So, I mean, you got, you know, agents or, you know, companies like Walmart, like Amazon, which I'm not a fan of Amazon, but their logistics and their efficiency and their inventory management is amazing if you've ever seen it from the inside and how they handle it. And they can manage this multi-massive, almost trillion-dollar company globally and shipping stuff all over the world every single day with their logistics. Great, they got tons of DOD money. But that being said, they can handle stuff unbelievably efficiently. We're sending weapons to one country and we can't even manage to get them there. 70% of the time they disappear. And we're talking about surface air missiles. We're not talking about Tidy Whiteys, you know, or milk formula. Like, we're talking about serious weapon systems. And I mean, then you start seeing videos of the southern border with that one guy walking around the cartel with an AT-4 rocket launcher. Like, last time I checked, Mexico doesn't make AT-4s. And so what's crazy is, where's this stuff going? And why is it then we have the unbelievably corrupt, out of control, needs to be dissolved garbage agency called the ATF, which is a post-prohibition agency for alcohol, tobacco, and firearms after the gangster movement and the machine guns, the 1934 Act. Why are they still even relevant? Why are they still even telling us what we can do with our guns after Fast and Furious? I still haven't figured that out. So I'm hoping ATF's next on the chopping block with Trump, because that is one of the most lawless agencies we have. And we've seen that now for years. What they do. All right, by the way, we said braces for rifles and pistols were legal, but we changed that after 13 years, and we now say they're illegal. And if you have one, you go to prison for 10 years because we deemed it so. Like, what other agency has that type of authority to say, you have a plastic item on your gun, and we now say it's illegal, and if you get caught with it, you're going to prison for 10 years for a federal felony? I mean, Anybody else think they need to be reined in a little bit and maybe they should start looking at the machine guns they send to Mexico and stop being worried about semi-automatic rifles that Patriots buy in the United States? Just
there you go.
My thought on that.
And folks, you're listening to the reason why you should tune into the Ted and Austin Brower Show every day. I'm telling you right now, just go to teamhealthmasters.com or healthmasters, and click on the link to the program. You can drill down also to get the archived episodes. I do that quite frequently because I miss certain episodes, so I have to go back and listen. Never a dull moment there. The information that you'll get from that is just tremendous. While you're there, shop at HealthMasters, teamhealthmasters.com, and take advantage over the next couple of days till the weekend. HR5 for 5% off non-saleable items. However, this does include this week and this week only, Ultimate Multiple. What a great deal. And you'll never get a lower price than that. So, again, teamhealthmasters.com, 5% off HR5 at the debt checkout. I'm telling you, it's a smooth process. And you know how quick, I mean, I placed an order of a product and I got mine like in, I don't know, I press a send button and then there's a knock on the door and here's Austin holding the, no, but it was,
shipping's,
I mean,
quick.
Yeah, it is. Isn't that fast? I mean, it's amazing. Eric the Tech piped in there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We try to get our stuff as fast as we can. You know, I will let everybody know we have had some shipping delays, not from us, but from the post office, which everybody's realizing.
Yes.
That's another agency that needs to get addressed and actually look at what's going on with that. I know a lot of post office guys are great people, but that agency is so inefficient now. I mean, you got UPS, you got DHL. They knock it out of the park. That's why we use UPS for expedited shipping. You want stuff quick? Expedited shipping is $19.99. I'll get stuff to your door the next day or the day after, pretty much guaranteed for $20. I yep. subsidize, by the way, a lot of that. Next day with UPS across the country is not $20 last time you check. But I do it because I want my customers to get the product. I know if they need it that bad, they're getting expedited VIP service right to the front of the line. I mean, I was personally packing boxes the other day in the back, knocking stuff out, checking the orders. I was like, boom, boom, boom. We got to get these out today before 5. And took them to the post office myself and had UPS pick them up. And so we do that to give everybody the best service we can. DHL Express, for all my international listeners, thank you guys for the support. You guys are awesome. I love hearing you guys from Europe, from Australia. It's great to get feedback from y'all from Canada. And we get the stuff to you. DHL Express is amazing now with you guys. We can get stuff to Australia in like 3 to 4 business days delivered to your door right from Florida. So don't be worried about the way it was during COVID. I know there were a lot of issues with delays during COVID, a lot. That hasn't happened more than international. Our account with DHL is incredible. So, again, if you need anything, we're here for you. You can always call us or check us out at Team Health Masters. And keep your immune system strong. There's a lot of nasty stuff going on right now. Down here in Florida, you know, we've had a bunch of the schools let kids out for a couple of days, or just people are keeping their kids home because now they're saying that kids are coming down and they're testing. And granted, I haven't seen it personally because I've never tested. I don't care if I get sick. I know what to do. I know the protocol and I'm back better, you know, back going after 4 or 5 days, even if I'm really sick, which happens rarely. But they were saying kids were testing down here. I talked to multiple parents that said the kids, when they went to the pediatrician, they were testing for COVID and influenza at the same time. So they were doing different tests on them. Now, granted, if that's the manipulated PCR test trying to push the agenda to shove more vaccines in everybody's arms, it may possibly be. However, I do know a lot of kids were getting unbelievably sick around here recently. So who knows what they released? All knows one thing. They're trying to push the agenda. Now they're trying to push this bird flu as hard as they can to justify killing millions of chickens. And, I mean, it's nuts with the eggs, man. I love eggs. I ate like 4 to 8 eggs a day. And when I was sick, I got sick last week. I wasn't feeling good. And so it's a couple days. I was down for about 3 days. I was down hard. And yeah. I was having my supplements. And then all of a sudden, like, I just started eating a ton of eggs. And over a period of like 2.5, 3 days, I ate like 24 eggs. Just, you know, cooked. And I was just eating eggs. And it was crazy, man. Again, I'm not saying it's all the eggs. I was taking my supplements too. But I'll tell you one thing. Eating 2 dozen eggs over a period of 2.5 days like that, by the friggin' third day, I was like, okay, I'm back at it. And I know the egg albumin. I know a lot of the IGF that's in it. I know the high fatty acid, high omega-3 fats, and digestible protein. It's good for you. We've seen the studies where a kid Just eating one egg a day, preferably organic, you know, free range, can boost IQ points as they get older by a few points. It can increase cognition, can decrease ADHD symptoms. Organic eggs are amazing. There's a reason why.
Yes, yeah. I love organic eggs. Absolutely.
You got to. And you know, Doug, it's noticed there's not a big, oh, we got to knock out all the swine. We have to kill millions and millions of pigs this year because the swine flu's back. Oh, no, we've got to kill all these other animals that basically are in the food industry. It's all chickens and cows, and primarily chickens right now, with one of the most digestible protein sources in the entire world, and that's organic eggs.
I was just going to say, gee, what are the odds of that?
Yeah. What are the odds of that?
I got to ask you this off topic a little bit, but how do you like your eggs?
Me?
Do you like them in an omelet? Do you like them?
I go a whole different way. Sometimes I go scrambled. Sometimes I like them over medium. Sometimes I like them over easy. The other day, I ate some sunny side up. I do not cook them dry, though. I'll tell you that right now. I do not cook my eggs dry. I like to keep the protein intact as much as possible. I cook them as minimal as possible. I'm not recommending eating raw eggs. So don't quote me on that. Yeah, but I like them to be soft.
Okay. So I'm a big fan of Chef Jean-Pierre, okay, personally.
Okay.
So I got to tell you this, okay? If you cook an omelet, a couple of eggs, make sure you put salt. Put salt in the eggs first, and you of course mix them up so they're blended. Leave them sit for 15 minutes with the salt in the eggs. That binds the protein. Okay, it binds the protein.
Okay.
And so if you're going to make an omelet, now if you're going to make scrambled eggs, the same thing. Leave them set with the salt for 15. Folks, I'm telling you, you can watch Chef Jean-Pierre. You guys, I'm telling you. But plus the flavor is amazing. So it does help. It's my belief it helps with the protein delivery system. If that's a thing, that's just me.
No, I have not really researched that, but I believe you, and I'll look more into it. And I mean, I'm sure, too, if you're going to do it, make sure you're using something like the Redmond salt like we have or something that's a real high-purity salt. Don't just use sodium chloride like bleach salt. Actually use some good quality salt on them.
And I'll tell you something. Your salt, I've noticed the difference. And, folks, this is true. With your salt is yours Himalayan or I'm sorry, what kind?
No, it's out of Utah. So we use the Redmond salt. It's probably one of the cleanest ones I found because it's not on mountaintops. It's mined about 5,000 feet down in Utah. I've actually gone out there before. It's really wild. And
okay, it's been a while.
The mineral balance of the salt out there is insane. When you look at it and basically assay and test it, the mineral levels are in it. It's incredible. That's why it works so good for muscle cramps too.
Okay, which exactly. Now I used your salt in this is true in the eggs. I probably should. I mean, salt doesn't go bad really, but I probably should.
Not really.
but having said that, the eggs were a deeper yellow color. And again, this is important for the proteins in the egg, especially if you're making them scrambled or in an omelet. So definitely, Health Master's salt, let them sit for 15 minutes after you add the salt and whisk them, don't whisk them, use a fork to beat them, and then cook them up the way you like them. So that's just a little
I'm telling you right now, I've had so many people, they ask me, what's the best setup in the morning as far as for breakfast? I tell them straight up, 4 eggs cooked the way you want with a glass basically of Ultimate Multiple Powder. You do that in the morning, I promise you, you start doing that, not only are you going to get unbelievably lean, you're going to feel unbelievably good. You're going to have more energy. You're going to have more mental acuity. You're going to have more cognitive functioning, and you're going to function. You have healthy blood sugar throughout the day. 4 eggs with a glass of Ultimate Multiple, that's it for the morning. That's all you need. Your blood sugar stable, and then a few hours later, eat another meal and actually get a bigger meal. And if good, but first thing in the morning, you get that protein in with that full mineral spectrum with the multiple, like you said, with some salt. That's literally my breakfast every single day, pretty much, unless a variable happens and I don't eat it.
And for extra credit, you can throw some magnesium powder in there as well, magnesium brain food. And I'm telling you what, it really works out well.
And then throw a purple stick in. Like, I'm not going to lie, I do that a lot of times too.
yeah.
The multiple powder with the purple stick is just like, I mean, it'll get you going. Yeah.
Austin, do you oil cook or butter cook your eggs?
Oh, I use butter. I use organic butter. Yeah.
100%.
Like that or avocado oil. But eggs and butter, man. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, does it? Like just straight organic butter. I like
that. Oh, and one more cooking tip if you're making an omelet, folks, or even scrambled eggs, but more of an omelet. One cooking tip. So after you let it sit for 15 minutes and it turns that rich yellow color, take, this much of butter, like a good sized pat of butter, cold, and, chop it up into like four pieces. In fact, put eight pieces of four sugar cube size of butter. Put it into the omelet mix or whatever, and then pour don't melt it. Pour it into the pan, and the butter will infuse with the egg mixture. And it'll make a creamy eggs. I'm just telling you, folks, what is this? Turned into a cooking show? I'm sorry.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, I'm getting really hungry. And when you come down here, Doug, you are going to make me an omelet now. This is ridiculous. I'm unbelievably hungry. Thank you for this. I got to go eat now.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. Well, I want to keep you for an extra 5 minutes because I was front end heavy a little bit today. So
you got me as long as you want, Doug. I'm on three purple sticks, but I'm going to eat eggs within the next 5 minutes or an hour. You got me really hungry.
And I'm telling you, man.
We're talking about butter and eggs. Next, we're going to throw some organic ground beef in it. That's, you know, and while you're on it, you know, I did it. I'm used to it all the time. If you go out for steak and you end up not eating like your whole steak, next morning you wake up, slice the steak into tiny little pieces and throw it in your omelet. Dude, I gotta stop, dude. You're making me hungry.
Man, get a good cut of, get a good ribeye. By the way, I bought a chuck steak the other day, and I don't know what the hell is going on, but it's a very inexpensive. It's supposed to be an inexpensive piece of meat, right? It was $9 a pound at the supermarket. It was crazy.
It must have been like grass fed. Was it like a
It was nothing special. It was just in a supermarket wrapper. The stuff, I swear, like 3 weeks ago, I was paying $5 a pound for that.
You gotta pay for all that mRNA.
Yeah, I mean, just the organic grass-fed ground beef at our store locally. I went over there, which I usually buy one from a local butcher. We buy a bunch at a time. It's all grass-fed. But the store, it was like $11.99 for a pound of ground beef grass-fed. And I was like, I don't need beef today. We're good on that. And so I know some of these supermarkets are taxing on it because they go and look at their high-end products, their cash cows, and they look at the variable cost as it goes up, and they see if there's any price resistance. And if they're not getting price resistance, they'll bump it up another dollar. If it still sells out, they'll bump it up another dollar. Yep. And that might be happening too. It's happening with eggs too. Because I mean, I saw the other day $11.99 for a dozen eggs. I'm like, bro, we're paying a dollar an egg now. that's organic eggs. I'm like, holy crap! But I mean, there's a lot of places still you can get them cheaper. And then we got tons of local people got chickens, so I'll go over there and you guys got some eggs for me.
At the beginning, you were talking about the great egg heist of 2025. Okay, when you do the math on that, I want to kind of revisit that for a second because tell me again how many eggs we're talking.
I think it was 100,000 eggs or something. Yeah, 100,000 eggs from in memory. Pennsylvania, yeah. Right down the road from you.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not going to be selling eggs out of the trunk of your car. Okay. So in that case, that's one of two things. It could be, in my view, only one, because who's going to buy eggs?
Right. And so you got to think about it. And that's why I made a joke about it at the beginning of the show, right?
Right.
Okay. Supermarkets have contracts with egg suppliers. They're buying X amount of eggs. They get distributors. You're not going to go to Publix and knock on the back door and be like, I got 50,000 eggs right here, bro. Just give me 10,000 in cash, 50,000 eggs a year. It's like Publix is going to go, we're calling law enforcement. Please leave your trespassing. We're not going to buy eggs from some dude in a truck. So it kind of leads me to go back to exactly what you're talking about Are we having groups now that are trying to short the egg market in order to produce an enormous amount of artificial profit, or natural profit, I guess it would be, but artificially increase it? I mean, 100,000 eggs, that's a lot of eggs, dude, just to disappear out of nowhere.
It could be, again, to create that artificial shortage, like with chicken and beef, for different reasons, of course. But our food supply is under attack. And this is something I think people need to take very, very seriously. Our proteins are under attack, and we have to really pay attention to what's going on. So, yeah, I just want to revisit that, because to me, that we can't, I mean, we better pay attention to this. And if law enforcement cannot find 100,000 eggs, I'm telling you, there's something wrong. Okay.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, anybody that actually was trying to steal those to sell them on the black market, the egg black market, if that's even a thing, I don't know. You can write me and let me know. I don't think it is. Some people are going to start talking. They're going to be like, hey, this dude showed up in a van. He's got 10,000 eggs he wants to sell me. Like, that was bizarre. Like, you're not going to just be able to dump all those eggs and make any significant money off of them. So again, it leads me kind of to believe, is this being used to artificially manipulate the market? I mean, that's, and the protein's real, man. That's why, you know, we always have those organic chicken and egg buckets, or not it's chicken and beef buckets at the office. And we got the other organic, those aren't organic, but we also have the organic food buckets. You know, I recommend people, you know, go wild. Oh, I got, you know, 20 years worth of food stored up in my cellar. It's got all this food. I'm like, okay, in 20 years, if you're still eating that, you're probably not going to be alive anymore. Like, let's be real. Not to mention, right, something's probably going to go sideways. But, you know, having at least 60 to 90 days of some backup food for the entire family to be able to utilize, it's not a bad idea, especially have additional protein that you can cook and throw in, because, you know, not the prices are going through the roof. They already told me the food buckets. They already notified me a couple weeks ago that there's an increase on the food. I haven't raised the food bucket prices in like 3 years. They keep going up, and I just leave them because I'm like, I want everybody to have food more than I do. I don't make any money on them, really. But they gave me another price increase a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, geez, dude. Like, there's no money in these things. But again, it's because the cost of this stuff is getting so expensive.
Exactly. And see what I did there? Yes. No, you're exactly right with respect to the food buckets. And I think people need to have, look, you don't have to go, like Austin said, you don't have to go crazy. But just have a little bit on hand to get you through any pinch that might happen, because I have a feeling things are going to go a little bit haywire. AI stuff. I don't get this. I get
before
it.
Before you go there.
Yes. Yes.
Austin, how long do your whey protein packs last sealed?
The whey protein that I get out of New Zealand, the Forever Fit?
Yeah.
Generally, the expiration date on them from manufacturing time, when I get them, I usually have a solid 2 years, sometimes a little less. By the time it gets out to the customer, usually about 18 to 12 months, depending on what my batch is. I'm making a big batch, so by the time it's in the final phase, usually about a year, year and a half at the most.
So what happens if it's three? I mean, it's not going to hurt you 3 years, we'll say, right?
The whey protein? Yeah, but I mean, it's whey protein powder. I mean, it's only in a 2.5-3 pound can, the whey protein, Forever Fit.
Right.
I mean, it's not really, I mean, you could stock it up, but what I've done with it, because I always keep backup of it, I just rotate them out. You know, I'll have three or four at the house. I'll utilize them. Another batch in 6 to 7 months, you rotate them out. If you need to store up more, you can, as long as you're utilizing it. But I mean, you got to remember, the whey protein, I don't really have any stabilizers in it. I don't have any preservatives in it. So it's not really meant to be a long-term food storage. If you want the food buckets, like the actual meat buckets, those got a lot of sodium in them, which, I mean, you have to do that, but they're processed pretty good. So, I mean, they last for like 15 years. You don't have to touch them. You don't have to rotate them either.
Got it. All right.
So the fit food's great. It's just, if you're going to keep it for a store, you got to rotate it out on there, because I don't put enough stabilizers in it to keep it. There's some whey proteins that come out of China that I know of. Dude, they have had stuff where they've tested it 4 or 5 years later and it's still palatable, but it's not really even whey protein. It's a concoction of chemicals in it. I mean, it's like nothing eats a Twinkie. I mean, how long does Twinkies last? Like, I don't know, indefinitely. The ultra-processed food's a problem, man. I did a show on it the other day about the addiction with ultra-processed food, and we talked about on this show a little ways ago with that lawsuit, you know, how these manufacturers have been dialing in the perfect amount of salt, carbohydrates, and fat, all unbelievably processed, like high fructose corn syrup and canola oil, and then adding all these preservatives like MSG to make these foods unbelievably addictive to the brain. So it triggers all this dopamine. So you hit that sweet spot, or they call it that bliss point. And I mean, so that's where you really got to be aware of the processed food, because it's getting really addictive and people don't realize what it's doing to their health
at all. Man. Yeah. Eric detected, was your question answered sufficiently there?
Yeah, I think that's just a good backup option.
Oh, it is.
If we lose eggs and stuff like that for a certain amount of time, like a couple years is good shelf life for a clean product.
Yeah. And I mean, you got to think too, like I talked about earlier, you know, if something goes sideways, you know, within a year or two, you're going to have to start. I mean, this is just a survival standpoint. You're going to have to start making decisions on what you're going to do, where you're going to go, what you're going to start moving, if you're going to start hunting. And at some point, because like nobody's going to be able to dig in for 10 years unless you got one of the silos out in Utah that you bought, like one of the old rocket silos, and you just dig down in that thing and live down there. But, you know, that's that, and that's what I've told, because I've had actually people that stocked up on the way and then they just use them over the next like 5 to 6 months, and then they buy like another 12-pack case from me. And then they use it as they go. If something goes sideways, they still got a bunch of whey protein. The nice thing about it is you just mix it in straight with water, mix it with a shaker, mix it in with organic raw milk, whatever you want to mix it with. It's the chocolate. If you got raw milk up there, we got great raw milk that's certified down here in Florida. I made one the other day. Raw milk shaker with like 3 scoops of whey protein, that chocolate one. It was like a chocolate milkshake. I was honestly shocked. I haven't drank whole milk in a while. Shoot. It was amazing. I was like, oh, I can gain some weight on this, which I don't need to do right now.
But you guys should work on a mint chocolate.
A mint chocolate? We used to have a mint chocolate. Nobody bought it.
I'm too late.
It was good flavor. It was good. It had some people hitting on it, but it was like trying to build that much of an inventory on it, and then it always was really slow to move. So I told a lot of people, if you want that, get the chocolate one we have and add a couple drops of organic mint extract in it. And I mean, it tastes the exact. That's really what we did in the batches. We were just using organic mint extract with the chocolate formula. But then the problem is you couldn't take the mint out once you had it at that point. It was mint chocolate all the time. So.
Oh, man.
Enjoy the manufacturing products.
Wow. Wow.
You learn a lot.
Interesting stuff. All right. Well, Austin, look, I appreciate your time. I've kept you longer than anticipated. Is there any closing thoughts that you have that you'd like to pass along? And again, folks, remember Health Masters, teamhealthmasters.com. The link is going to be in the program description box at agmentbi.com. HR5 coupon code. But anything in closing that you want to that you want to leave us with?
I think all the patriots, I think we're all well aware that we're getting an enormous amount of momentum right now with what Trump's doing. And I think we need to remember the same thing that happened last time he was elected, is we can't get lazy. We got to keep holding these guys' feet to the fire with the Congress, with the Senate, with our local representatives. We can't just sit around and pretend like this is going to go on forever, because in fact the matter is, we know Trump's only here for 4 years. And he's not the savior of everything. He is doing a lot of good things, but that doesn't mean it's going to be the end-all, be-all. If we don't make direct changes in our communities and our states and our counties, and we don't hold the line and keep pushing back, in 4 years, if we get another bumbling buffoon, ice-cream-eating, pants-crapping individual like Biden, it's just going to go right back to what it was. They're going to put that guy in to run all these executive orders and undo a lot of this stuff. So, again, everybody needs to be getting on the same page in the patriot community. I know a lot of people fight about stupid stuff, and in reality, it's not that time. We all got to start supporting one another, pushing our stuff, make sure it's getting out there, and, again, holding these cities and counties and communities and states, because I think now more than ever, people are realizing stuff's getting more expensive. Inflation's real. Bankers and the Federal Reserve have manipulated the market so much for the last 100 years. We're really starting to feel the demise of the dollar on its last leg. That doesn't mean it's the end of the country, but it means you got to start making decisions. And it means frugality needs to be a point across the board, including in all of the government spaces, including state and federal. This unseen amount of spending and just unfettered money that goes everywhere needs to stop. And so vote at your local cities, your city commissioners, your county commissioners, vote on stuff going through. I've done it for years. I've gotten flack. A lot of people don't like me, really don't care. I'll call stuff out and ask questions that people don't want to talk about. If you don't want to answer me and I elected you and you're going to spend my taxpayer money for something that I don't like and nobody else wants in the room, why in the heck are you sitting up there even talking to me? Period. And so, again, that's a lot of the stuff that people need to start talking about right now and keep the momentum going. Don't get lazy. Keep getting stronger. Keep training. Keep working on your pull-ups. Keep working on your push-ups. And just stay strong and focus on the things you need to focus on, including your health and getting your body detoxified and keeping the junk out of it. You know, somebody asked me the other day, Doug, they're asking me about, you know, how do I know what's in food that's bad? And I said, dude, you can go on the website and look it up on Team Health Masters. Do a Google search if you want to use Google. I don't recommend it. Go, whatever. It takes 5 minutes. Listen to the show. I'll explain it to you, doggone, every week about the high fructose corn syrup, the MSG, the hydrogenated oils, the main culprits to keep out of your food to keep you and your family strong every single day. Because at the end of the day, there's a war on for our health and for our minds, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse as far as more aggressive. But we have the opportunity right now to really make our voices heard and stand up for what we believe, Doug. That's my final question.
Do you, and I'm probably going to end up keeping you even longer, but do you...
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Do you believe RFK Jr. is going to make a difference? I mean, once in that position, will make a difference, for the better, of course, from the vaccines. I'm talking true vaccines through the processed food. I'm curious. I mean, to me, he seems genuine and earnest. Now, again, a lot of his politics, I really don't care for climate change and stuff like that. But with respect to health, I think he's right on the money. But do you think he's going to, I don't think he's going to sell out. Do you?
Here's the issue that I've looked at, because I've watched a lot of his stuff for years. I followed him before it was popular. Some of the stuff I agree with, some of the stuff I don't. It's fine. Everybody's got their own opinion. I think that he's put his entire reputation on the line now. I think that everybody is watching him, wondering this exact same question. And if he drops the ball and completely does a 180 and jumps in the pharmaceutical bed and turns into a whore and doesn't do what he says he's going to do, he will have absolutely zero respect or credibility in the entire community for the rest of his existence, period. So I think he's got every reason to make a difference. Going back to your question, yes, I think he's going to be able to make a bigger difference in the food industry with the FDA and the synthetics and the ultra-processed food easier than he can the vaccine industry. And again, this is my opinion. The food industry, the reason why it's so stinking corrupt and it's so manipulated and why I can't stand the food industry so much is because they have two completely separate types of food they manufacture based on countries' laws. For example, Fruit Loops. You look at a Fruit Loops ingredient list in Europe, you look at a Fruit Loops ingredients in the United States, they're completely different, almost identical packaging. You look in Europe, it's got wheat powder, cane sugar, beta carotene for color, beet juice powder for color, natural flavors. The list is about 15, maybe 10 ingredients. Look at the United States label, red 40, yellow 5, high fructose corn syrup, hydrogenated cottonseed oil, hydrogenated canola oil. I mean, the list is so long, it's almost mind-boggling when you actually look and see what's in it. So you got Kellogg's that's making two completely different sets of products for two
in the same place, right?
Not most of the time. Sometimes they have manufacturing facilities over in Europe, but at the end of the day, that already means they have access to the raw materials. That means the manufacturing facilities already spool up to handle those materials, and they have the packaging for them. So it's very easy for them to switch over to a cleaner item, a cleaner product. It's not that hard. Vaccines, that's a completely different animal. The pharmaceutical industry is after the 1986 Vaccine Protection Act that allowed them complete immunity from being able to do anything they want and produce the nastiest stuff that we've ever seen in existence and push it on the American populace and then say, we're not responsible if you get SIDS or your baby gets SIDS, basically sudden infant death syndrome. We're not responsible if your children gets autism. We're not responsible if you get sick and die.
Right.
Not our problem. They have had so much of a financial incentive to never produce anything clean because they don't have to. And now, until we actually get that stuff mandated, but when you're talking about the food industry versus the pharmaceutical vaccine industry, the vaccine industry is so enormous now and so profitable because you have mandates. Nobody's mandated to eat Fruit Loops. You actually have to produce a product that people want to eat that tastes good, that children enjoy, right? Vaccines? Right. Nah. Once you get them on the CDC shot schedule, they're forced in most states, and most pediatricians will force them based out of sheer bonus structures that they're going to get as long as 95 to 98% of their children stay fully vaccinated. So you're giving a mandated or a financial incentive to push this product while you're fully protected from any immunity. The food industry doesn't enjoy that same immunity. So that's why I think the food industry, he's going to be able to make a big difference. Will he be able to do something in the vaccine industry? I hope so. But doggone it, I'm going to be surprised how much traction he can get, dude. Because that's going to be a hard, hard industry to get to change anything because there's so many laws in place and there's mandates that the CDC put in place with that piece of crap, corrupt agency.
Man, absolutely. And more is coming out with respect to the CDC, the NIH, and the AI. The thing. More's coming out on that. Lastly, your father, Ted Brower, folks, is going to be speaking. I haven't checked the schedule recently, but I take it it's still on, in Wisconsin on April 4th and 5th, correct?
Yes, to my knowledge, he is going to be there. I do not know if I'm going to make it. I'm supposed to be training over at Ranger Ranch with one of my Ranger buddies for the weekends. I don't know if I'm going to be able, which one I'm going to do. I'm trying to get scheduled in with a lot of stuff in the next couple months. He will definitely be there 100%. I'm like 50-50 right now on it.
All right. And folks on your screen, mark your calendars. Wisconsin Christian News is having it's a ministry conference, and the speakers there, the pastor from Canada, Ted is going to be there. Dave Dobmeier. I mean, some really power packed speakers. That's April 4th and 5th. I believe that's a Friday, Saturday. I'm going to try to make it up there as well. I might grab it there, have a table up there, and because I enjoy meeting the people up there. I just wanted to verify that. And if you make it up there, that'd be great. I'd love to see you. If I can make it as well. So, but folks,
I'm not feeling sweet, dude. You're gonna have to make me an omelet now. Now I want some eggs from you. Over here cutting the butter in little pieces and letting it melt with everything. I'm so basic with it now. I'm like, golly, what have I been doing my whole life?
The sheen. Okay, so if it's scrambled egg, the sheen, and it's moist, and it's just fabulous. It's almost like a French kind of flair to it, but what do I know? Austin, thank you so very much. I really appreciate you spending the extra time with me. That's Health Masters or teamhealthmasters.com and HR5 for the coupon code. My friend, take care of yourself. Tell the family I said hello, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Doug. It's been a pleasure being on the show as always, and if you need anything, you know where to get a hold of me. You guys have a fantastic evening, my friends.
All right, brother. Yeah, I'm going to be putting another order in this week as well. And you do the same, folks. Austin, thank you so much. All right. Folks, a couple of things here that I saw and I wanted to clarify. Obviously, the big news today, kind of working backwards. This is important stuff. I'm telling you right now, this is like really important to understand. Pam Bondi, obviously, was voted in by the full Senate last night, and then was sworn in today. All right, let's start with this. Let's start with, in case you didn't see the swearing in of Pamela Bondi, it's only a minute long. Let's kind of relish in this swearing in. And then I want to tell you what the directives are that she has made today. Now, this is going into the position. Okay, so feel the energy of the swearing in. Sworn in, by the way, by Clarence Thomas. I thought that was great. And then I'm going to explain the directives, because people are saying, well, she's going to cut funding to sanctuary states. Well, wait a second. Since when does the Department of Justice get to do that? Well, they do, but not necessarily in the manner that you think. I'm going to explain that. But let's play cut. I would say cut one. Eric the Tech. It's labeled pretty well. Pam Bondi swearing in. Let's go ahead and hit cut one. Here it is.
And now I'd like to invite Justice Thomas to administer the oath of office. And thank you all for being here. It's a very important day, I believe, in our country's history. Thank you very much.
Do solemnly swear.
I, Pamela Bondi, do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
Discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
All right. So there you have Pam Bondi, obviously President Trump, Clarence Thomas of the Supreme Court, Pam Bondi's husband and mom were there in the swearing in. So she came out with some directives. Now, to me, this is important because now we're getting into the nitty gritty with respect to, okay, we're going to fight the deep state, right? We got to do this. We have to do this. So you heard, of course, well, we're going to cut off funding to sanctuary cities and states and all this stuff. Well, okay. Well, hold on. Let's talk about her directives, the directives that she has initiated today. And then we'll get to the fund, what funds she can cut off and how that'll play out. But okay, today she issued several major directives, on her first day of leading the Justice Department, including orders to combat the weaponization of the legal system. Now, to me, this is extremely important because we saw the weaponization of the legal system, not just for the last 4 years, but really for the last decade plus, when President Trump was in office and even before President Trump, because Obama weaponized a lot of the legal system. And she also addressing the death penalty, making prosecutors seek the death penalty when appropriate, and working with the Department of Homeland Security to completely eliminate cartels and transnational criminal organizations. Attorney General Pam Bondi issued one of the first directives was regarding zealous advocacy. Okay. And Fox News does a fairly decent job of explaining it. But detail wise, not so much. So this directive regarding zealous advocacy, the Department of Justice attorney's responsibilities include aggressively enforcing criminal laws passed by Congress. Okay. But also vigorously defending presidential preference policies, okay? I added the word preference there, and actions on behalf of the U.S., the nation, against legal challenges. This is the exact opposite that Merrick Garland did, okay? So for example, well, you get the idea. I don't really have to give you examples. Merrick Garland, by way of his boss, Joe Biden, or the committee behind Biden, really was attempting to destroy not just the legal system, but folks understand the justice system. Because we had no justice. Really, for the last decade, we have not had any justice system. We had the semblance of a legal system. Now, Pam Bondi, through this zealous advocacy initiative, is going after, she's aggressively enforcing criminal laws passed by Congress, but defending what the president wants. So if he's saying, look, we should, we shouldn't be prosecuting parents at the school boards, which obviously, the last, mope did. Garland should be, in my view, in prison because of it, as well as, others, but, that's just my take on it. The discretion afforded the Justice Department attorneys with respect to the various responsibilities about going into this, the president's desires, wishes, and who he wants to go after, kind of like a triage sort of thing. This discretion does not include latitude to substitute their own personal beliefs. So if the Department of Justice has a prosecutor that goes rogue, this zealous advocacy will rein that prosecutor in. That's directive one. Okay. These are my numbers, not hers, obviously, but that's the biggest thing I saw. I remember back in the 90s working as an operational asset for the Department of Justice. There were prosecutors I'll just say this. The law was kind of a suggestion to them. The Constitution was a suggestion. Those prosecutors back then didn't last that long. So I guess what I'm saying to you is this is being restored here. So when the Department of Justice, when the Justice Department attorneys refuse to faithfully carry out their role, for example, by refusing to advance good faith arguments or declining to sign briefs that we saw this past 4 years, this undermines the constitutional order and deprives the president specifically, and especially if that's a priority of the president, it deprives the president of the benefit of his lawyers. And that would be the Department of Justice. And contrary to the left, yes, those are his lawyers. That's his legal arm. I'm telling you, this is important. And in one of the memos written by Pamela Bondi, she states that any Justice Department attorney who declines to sign a brief, refuses to advance good faith arguments on behalf of the Trump administration, or otherwise delays or impedes, now this is coming right from the memo, the Justice Department's mission will be subject to discipline and potentially termination. Thank you. I appreciate that. And we need more of that, because obviously we are a nation of laws, okay? And we have to remember, it's not, you know, we can't pick and choose the laws. We have to follow the law as long as it is constitutional. But we saw with J6, no, not constitutional. That's coming because she addresses that and more. Now, she also is establishing something called the Weaponization Working Group. And this identifies instances, and this is so critical to me, instances of politicized justice, including a review into President Donald Trump's prosecution by Special Counsel Jack Smith. So when you read the, you've got to go deep into the Department of Justice website, grab these directives as they were put on. I think all of them were put on. Some, I think, were like a news release, but I think they're all at the DOJ website now. So she is looking and having, maybe not her personally, but she has organized a working group to look at what happened over the last 4 years from Jack Smith to Mueller, the whole thing, basically. This group is going to review all activities or the activities of all law enforcement, all the agencies, all of the law enforcement officers involved over the last 4 years to identify instances of politicized justice. Fantastic. What are the first reviews going to be? Now, this is Directive 2. Remember, Directive 1 was the zealous advocacy. Directive, or the part 1 of this, or the first review, one of the first reviews, is going to include any and all prosecutions against President Trump, led by former special counsel Jack Smith, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, and New York Attorney General Letitia James, who brought the civil fraud case against President Trump and his family. That is on the table now, today, right now. You think Jack Smith is looking for, or Letitia James, she's just too, I'm sorry, but she's just too stupid to really understand what's happening. But Jack Smith, you know, Twinkies Bragg, he might be a little bit, I don't know. And this working group is also going to review any potential prosecutorial abuse regarding January 6th. Now, this is where it gets really interesting, because the judges, the Department of Justice has a long reach, all right? The federal agency, the cabinet of the president, the Justice Department, remember, this branch of government's got a big, long, fat hand reach, I'm telling you. They're going into the prosecutorial abuse regarding January 6th, the FBI, their involvement, any involvement by anyone to cause what happened on January 6th. This is what this working group is going to be looking at, as well as, you ready for this? We've been waiting for this. The targeting of Catholic Americans who attend, for example, Latin Mass, and you had FBI agents writing down license plate numbers, attending school board meetings where they were under investigation. Oh, they're going to be looking into this. Not the parents this time, the people who investigated the parents. Give me a high five, Eric. There you go. Yeah, thanks, buddy. And the abuses of the freedom of access to clinic entrances, or the FACE Act. Remember, a 75-year-old woman was sentenced to, what, 5 years in prison for praying outside of a charnel house, an abortion mill? So the judge, the former members of the DOJ, the federal agents acting on behalf of the FACE Act, or to implement the FACE Act, they're all going to be under investigation. Okay, so again, moving on with the directives that she set out today. She's also going to end the moratorium on federal executions. That's right. In order that federal prosecutors at the Department of Justice, including U.S. Attorney's offices, seek the death penalty, I'm making up words, penalty when appropriate. But the level of specificity on this is going, she's going after the violent gangbangers, especially the fentanyl pushers. Think about that. We had the wholesale importation of both violent gang members as well as the drugs into this country. She's not only going after the gangbangers, the cartels but also, and folks, listen to this, because there are a lot of people really shaking, the members of the NGOs that were a part, that facilitated in bringing this into the U.S. Are you hearing about this on the news? I don't think so. All you're hearing is Pam Bondi gets in and she's not qualified. Just saying. This is a complete reversal. Oh, the death penalty. She's going back and ordering the Department of Justice to reevaluate cases, instances of the prior administration electing not to seek the death penalty. Now, I'll admit, I don't know how that works. I don't. But she's going to do that, which is a major reversal from what Biden did. In 2021, Biden issued a moratorium on the death penalty. Simple as that. And what, just about 2 months ago, in December, Biden issued stays of execution on 37 out of 40 inmates on death row. He can, in fact, not just stays, I'm sorry, he commuted the sentences of 37 murderers on death row, the federal death row. President Trump, when he addressed that action by Biden, and when he put the death penalty back on the table, he said that by executive order, he said that some of the most vile and sadistic rapists, child molesters, and murderers on federal death row received those commutations. Pamela Bondi said that she is now also directing the Justice Department to achieve justice for the families of the victims of the 37 murders who had their death sentences commuted. This is interesting, because the families of some of the victims were just absolutely devastated by Biden's actions. And again, I just don't understand why. Well, I do understand why, but more, the spotlight must be shining on this, because this is incredibly important. And with respect to cartels, because again, this is a big deal. With respect to cartels, Pam Bondi is directing the Department of Justice to work closely with the Department of Homeland Security and any other federal, state, local agencies, people, dogs, cats, whatever. She's pulling all the stops to completely eliminate the threats of the cartels and the transnational criminal organizations. Now, she's reformatting the priorities relating to the cases, specifically those cases, in order to ensure that law enforcement resources are focused on dismantling not just the various cartels, but the fundamental aspects that allowed the cartels to be created in the first place. Not just picking off low-level offenders, but going after the people behind the cartels. And here, the Justice Department is expected to temporarily suspend some bureaucratic approvals and reviews in order to prioritize and ensure speedy prosecutions and even field captures of severe offenders, people who committed capital crimes or accused of terrorism, aiding the operations of the cartels. So you better watch it out there. Think about the scope of this. Pam Bondi also said Joint Task Force Vulcan, which a lot of people don't know about this. I just learned about Task Force Vulcan. That was created to destroy MS-13. Then there's Task Force Alpha, which was created to fight human trafficking. Okay, we knew about Task Force Alpha, but it didn't have the backing of Garland. It didn't have the backing of the Department of Justice. It didn't have the backing of anybody. Now, they are going to be further empowered through Pam Bondi. These are the directives today, just today. So she, just like President Trump, hitting the ground running on this. Now, with respect to Task Force Vulcan, they're going after Trendy Aragua, TDA, the Venezuelan gang. Okay, so, and that gang has now been, designated as a foreign terrorist organization. So, this is where we're at with Pam Bondi. I thought it was great. Here's where I get a little bit frustrated, because a lot of people are saying things that might not be 100% true, but it's based on a misunderstanding as opposed to a malicious untruth. Okay. Pamela Bondi, as Attorney General, has also directed the Department of Justice to identify and evaluate all funding agreements with non-governmental organizations that provide support to illegal aliens. Let me say that again. She has directed the Department of Justice to identify and evaluate all funding agreements with NGOs. Okay, hold that thought for a second. She's also directing the litigating components of the Justice Department to investigate instances, and this is important, of jurisdictions that are impeding law enforcement, and directing that they be prosecuted when necessary. Okay. Now, a couple of other things. Hold that thought, because she did also create a task force. I should have mentioned this earlier, focusing on holding Hamas accountable and identifying them as a foreign terrorist organization, which I think Biden undid during his tenure, but from a Department of Justice standpoint. But now let's go back to the funding. Well, along with the funding, Bondi also is directing the Department of Justice to confirm the termination of all diversity, equity, and inclusion, that's DEI programs, at the department no later than March 15th of this year. She's demanding the removal of all DEI references in training programs, and specifically ending the emphasis on race and sex-based criteria, focused instead on merit as opposed to anything else. Okay. That's what she's doing now. And I should add that before Bondi was confirmed, the Trump Justice Department fired more than a dozen key officials. This is critically important for people to really understand that this President Trump administration is unlike anything we've ever seen. And this is causing a lot of people a lot of grief, that they're whining and moaning and saying this is unfair, this is a political persecution. Oh, how rich that is. But the 12 or more, actually it's more like closer to 20 key officials who worked on former special counsel Jack Smith's team prosecuting Trump, President Trump fired them. She's looking for more within the Department of Justice. And By the way, Acting Attorney General James McHenry said they could not be trusted in faithfully implementing the president's agenda. So, and this is where I think on some of the clips you heard were Acting Deputy Director Emil Bove issued a memo to the acting FBI director, directing him to terminate 8 FBI employees and to identify, this is what got the left all in their panties in a twist, all current and former Bureau personnel assigned to the January 6 cases for internal review. And 9 FBI agents, of course, as Austin mentioned earlier, filed a lawsuit seeking to block public identification of any FBI employee who worked on the January 6 case. Why would you want to do that? I'm just asking. Okay, so having said that, let's talk about the reference to the funding. You know how we're going to cut off funds to sanctuary cities? There's a map. It would be page 2 if... Eric, the tech, you can put up. It's a map of sanctuary cities and states. I think it's important. It's halfway down on this article. And this is from the Center of Immigration Studies. Fantastic map, fantastic resource. It gives you all of the information. If your city, if your town is a sanctuary city, I'm telling you, it's a great resource. Okay, now having said that, here's what Pam Bondi's doing. She's not stopping all federal funding. She can't do that. She's halting only Department of Justice funding to those states, those counties that you see on the map right there. And when you go, the link will be in the program description box. When you go on the website, on that website, you'll see the code on the top for what the colors mean. And as you go through the article, you'll see the sanctuary cities and counties and all that stuff. All right. But she can't halt all federal funding to a state, to a county, to no. She's holding only DOJ funding to those states, those municipalities, those areas, which is related to enforcing federal law or law enforcement activities, okay? It can't be, she can't cut off funding for school lunches, for example. It's got to be law enforcement related. And they're calling this anti-commandeering. Okay. There's an anti-commandeering doctrine that exists out there. That exists so you cannot stop funds unrelated to, for example, deporting illegals. Okay. Did I say that right? Yeah, I think I did. So if you think back to the Obama regime, their attempt to force states to expand Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act, remember this? By threatening to deprive those states of all Medicaid funds, remember that? That was struck down. That was struck down by the Supreme Court opinion in Sebelius versus the NLRB, where they explained why they struck down the Obamacare attempt to withdraw all Medicaid funding, because it was out of their jurisdiction. It was out of their reach. So Pam Bondi can't halt all funding. You can't use federal funding as a hammer to force states' compliance on issues that are not directly related to the funding being withheld. I hope that I made sense on that. If it could, you'd be able, it would enable complete and runs around the Constitution. It would be unconstitutional. You can go back to all the way back to the Civil War, and this is precedent where, okay, you can only hold funding for those issues. I don't want to beat a dead horse. I just wanted to make sure people understood where this was coming from. So when you hear this, don't let the left, and certainly don't believe the media hype that, oh my gosh, you know, she's going to do all this and that. No, don't worry about that. No, 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 no. Now, where are we with respect to the illegals being taken out of the country? The last video here, it's a minute 12, but the Trump DHS, Tom Homan, and others, well, they're moving people to where? To Guantanamo. The first migrant flight landed today at Gitmo, the worst of the worst. It was so good. Watch it. Let's watch it together. Here it is. This would be video 3. Here it is.
It's now in President Trump's immigration crackdown. The first deportation flight has landed at Guantanamo Bay. The president said that up to 30,000 undocumented migrants may be held at the facility. Chief Global Affairs anchor Martha Raddatz has the details. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, George. This is the same U.S. naval base where the 9/11 terrorists have been held for decades. But this morning, 10 migrants who were flown from the Texas border in a military transport plane, now under armed guard at Guantanamo Bay. The Department of Homeland Security, which released images from the transport to Guantanamo, say the men are members of a violent Venezuelan gang, the worst of the worst, they say. Hundreds of U.S. service members arrived ahead of the detainees and are setting up a tent city that can handle up to 30,000 detainees. The migrants will be held there until they can be deported to their home countries. President Trump also saying he is open to an offer by El Salvador's president to hold criminals in that country's notorious mega prison, including American citizens. Trump saying he would do it in a heartbeat if it was legal, which is highly doubtful, according to legal scholars. Robin?
Interesting. But take the win. And I look, it's my understanding Guantanamo is more of a bus stop for these the worst of the worst. Okay. At least for now. That's my understanding. Folks, if you have a different understanding, perhaps you might be right. The last thing I want to say is the government by paper trail. And I don't know how many people have seen this. I don't have it in the show notes specifically. But the website Slay has provided or has shown documents. Federal government funneled millions in tax dollars to these leftist news outlets, Politico and New York Times. Now, we saw, and Eric put this up. Austin talked about this, including, for example, Politico. Politico, the staff did not get paid for their latest pay period. The company just sent several emails to employees saying that it believes there was a technical error. Why is this important? Because the reason I brought it up lastly here is I believe what is happening right now is as we go through, or as they, whether it's Doge or components thereof, or the frightening young people at Treasury going through all of that information, regardless of where they're going through, when they're looking at the NGOs, the money that has been transferred to NGOs, you're going to find money being transferred to various websites. Okay, that's key. Not just CBS, NBC, and NPR, but various websites. This is all going to come out, and I think some of the recipients are going to surprise you, because I do believe not just the recipients, but the money behind it. So we've got a lot of information coming. And I think, again, this exposure to the graft is just going to be mind-boggling. But we need to make sure, and I do believe that we will find, or we will be treated to this information in evidence format, evidentiary style formatting. I think that's coming based on just the conversations I've had over the last day or two. And of course, you know,
1 minute.
USAID. I've talked about this for the last 3 days. There was an article that came out in on the website public.news. You're going to find USAID and the CIA were behind the impeachment of President Trump in 2019. This I will put in the show notes because I think this is important for everyone to read, because it has implications of the people who brought the articles of impeachment, as well as those who